Okay, so it's been a little over a month now. We've got two applications down on my lawn, and now we've had all that rain in April. I've mowed the lawn for the first time, and I have to say, it's already looking pretty good. Knock on wood. Don't want to jinx anything, but it's looking green. I've gotten a couple compliments on it, so I'm feeling pretty good. So in this third episode, Chris and I get into mowing the lawn because I mowed it for the first time this spring, and then we talk about some watering tips. Chris has a really funny story about his dog in his yard, and we talk about some lawn diseases, some weird ones, one that shows like crazy rings or something, and then grubs, how those can destroy, absolutely ruin your lawn, and how you can prevent that too. Some really good stuff in this episode. Hi, I'm Kevin Begley from Star 99.9, and this is Making of a Lawn, presented by T. Dim Brown. Here we go. Episode 3 of the Making of a Lawn podcast with Teton Brown. It's Kevin Begley, and I am here again with Chris. Hello, Chris. How are we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. My lawn, we just got back from my house. It's looking great.
I was very pleasantly. I wouldn't say surprised, but right. I was very pleased with what I saw. Yeah,
me too. Yeah. I've mowed it for the first time, so I went through with the mower. I had a lot of. It's tough, you know, the first mowing of the season because you want to make sure that you get it right. You don't screw up. You don't do it too short. Mm-hmm. But I was happy with it. And then even like posting on Instagram, like people were like, your lawn looks great. And I was like, well, it's my little secret weapon, Teton Brown.
Well, definitely keep up on that mowing. You don't want it to grow too long in between. I think
right,
we talked
right.
about that
we
already.
We did. 3 inches, right? Wasn't that
three
the
inches
sweet
and
spot?
Don't want to cut off more than a third of the length at any given time. So
right.
There's the two main things. And then also, did you get your mower blades sharpened?
So I have it. Well, I bought a new mower last year.
Okay.
But so maybe I should get them sharpened.
Yeah,
still.
Usually sharpen them once a year.
Oh, okay.
When we were in school, we learned this is the thing the professor would talk about this is you got to sharpen the mower blades every 3 hours of mowing. And I remember all of us kind of nodding, going, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Nobody does every 3 hours of mowing.
Right.
You know, it's just that's if you've got a lawn that takes you half an hour, that's every 6 cuts you have to.
Yeah, that seems excessive.
Get your mower blade sharpened. And so, yeah, in an ideal world. But I say, you know what? If you can do it once a year, and if you're really, really into it, do it twice a year, then you should be in good shape.
And can you just do it at a hardware store? Like, where do you go to get them sharpened?
Yeah, yeah. Call up the local hardware stores, places like that. A lot of them do that for you.
Oh, nice.
So you just, you can get underneath the mower and just with a regular wrench.
Oh, and just take them off?
Just take the mower blade off,
bring
it on in. Get an extra spare one that's already sharpened for you. Then you can just hold on to that later in the season, put that one on. During the winter, take them both off, bring them back in again, you're good to go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's like getting your skis or snowboard sharpened.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's going well. Yeah, I was actually, you know, like you said, like, so I was surprised, but not that surprised. You know, I didn't want to seem too surprised. Like, oh, it looks so great. But the color of it, maybe it's because all the rain we had in April, but the color of it just looks fantastic. Just the greenness of it, you know?
Yeah, it's greening up. It's, you know, that's a function of the nitrogen that's in the fertilizer that we're putting down.
Yeah.
And obviously we've had lots of rain this year. So, but if anything, the rain will usually tend to lighten up the color a little bit because it gets the grass growing so fast that uses up all the nutrients. And then that dark green color that you get from the nutrients.
Yep.
Is worn out, and then you have lawns that tend to be a little bit yellower, actually. So when you have lots and lots of rain and the grass is growing like crazy, looks good for a little while, and then it starts to get pale, and then it starts to get weak looking and not so great.
Yeah.
So we did do an application about a week ago for you, and that gave it that little extra kick.
Right, so that was the second one. So how does that second application, how is it different from the first one? Is it drastically different, or is it similar to what they did the first time?
Not drastically different, but this one is a fertilizer. It also had a little something to prevent crabgrass, which we didn't do the first time because we had to get the seed in, and we had to get that seed growing. And
I remember you had said you just let everything grow. And then
let everything grow, yeah. So, yeah, this application, we put down something because a lot of that seed has already grown in, and it's strong enough that we could put down a crabgrass preventer, and hopefully we can prevent some of the crabgrass this year. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. We already saw some baby crabgrass getting started in the yard that we kind of missed this time around. We can deal with that later, but some of it got through.
Well, if anyone watched the video that we did at the beginning of the spring in my lawn last year, it was all crabgrass. That's all it was.
Pretty much.
So this is a step in the right direction.
Yep. And then the other thing we had on this time is this product called Acceleprin, which is one of my favorite new things on the market.
Oh.
And the companies are always coming out with new formulations and new chemistry and stuff like that. And being a nerd like I am, I love this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a product that prevents grubs. And the way it does it is by interrupting calcium somehow in the system of white grubs. And in white grubs, they need calcium for nerve impulse transmission.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and it's kind of weird. Physiologically, I mean, if I said to you, hey, did you know you need calcium for nerve impulse transmission? Yeah, sure, okay.
Right.
So, apparently that's very unique to white grubs. It's not something that happens in mammals or fish or even other insects.
And white grubs are just like tiny little bugs, right, that grow in the grass or that are on the grass?
No, they're the larval form of beetles. So, it's kind of like basically they're like caterpillars.
Okay.
Just not nearly as cool looking.
Right, yeah. And they're tiny, right?
They're pretty tiny. There's lots of different types of grubs.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they'll do is they will molt and become a beetle. And then the beetles fly around, and then they lay eggs in the ground, and then those eggs hatch, they become grubs, and then the grubs feed on the roots of the grass.
Oh, which isn't good.
No, that kind of destroys things.
Yeah.
But the problem is you don't know if you have a grub infestation until all of a sudden one day you come out in the fall and your lawn is gone.
Right, they just killed everything.
Well, it killed everything. What happened was it happens through the fall, and oftentimes the fall weather is cool. Maybe we get some good rain. Maybe you're watering.
Yep.
Everything's okay. What you don't realize is the root system is just getting completely destroyed.
Right, because it's underneath,
grubs.
So you don't see it happening.
Exactly. It's all happening underneath. And then what happens is skunks and other critters come by. They love grubs. So they'll go, oh, look, there's grubs under here. They can smell them.
Yeah.
And then they just literally wipe the grass away with their paws.
Oh.
And it just pulls away because there's no roots holding it down.
Right.
And then they chow down on the grubs and they just sit there in your yard all night long while you're sleeping. These critters are out
just destroy.
Oh my God, it's crazy. I've seen lawns 10,000, 20,000 square feet. People just wake up the next day with nothing but piles of dead grass.
Oh no.
And they're going, what happened? It is, yep. Got destroyed by grubs. And so
if it's hard, so it sounds like it's so difficult to know if you have them. So how do you even know?
Well, you kind of don't, because the beetles can really lay the eggs wherever they want, and you can't really get down in and test for beetle eggs. I mean, they're tiny little things.
So I guess it's more about prevention?
It's more about prevention, and if you do start seeing some grass dying off in the fall, sometimes you can catch it a little bit early. You can see and go, what's going on here? And you dig down a little bit, and you go, wow, there's some grubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you can treat. The problem with waiting until that point is, once the grubs have hatched and they're actively eating, you got to use something a lot more toxic to get rid of them.
Okay.
And we don't like doing that. So this product, the Acceleprin that I was talking about, it just interrupts that calcium so that they essentially can't transmit nerve impulses. They become paralyzed. They starve to death. They die. Now, I don't want to overplay this, but it's incredibly safe, this product, in terms of if dogs were to eat some of it.
Right, because that's the big question with any of these products. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Kids. Exactly. It's pretty much harmless. And it's actually the first product that the EPA has allowed without some sort of a caution or warning label on it. It does, you know, have handling instructions for safety and things. And I'm not recommending anybody pour some on their breakfast cereal. Okay.
Right.
It's not good for you, but it's not like the
old. It's not extremely toxic
crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's fun. I really like using these new things that are just really advanced and really safe, but still do the exact job that you're trying to do without doing anything more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that we put down. So you are good to go for grubs this year. No grubs.
Nice. No grubs on that lawn.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, after that whole description, like, that sounds like the worst thing that could ever happen to the lawn. So if somebody did have a grub problem and they did wake up that morning and everything was gone, what would be the next step? So you have to reseed?
Basically start over.
So you just have to start over.
Start over.
Man. Wow. Okay. I'm glad that we put that down.
It's a nice insurance policy. You're protecting your investment, your lawn. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of things that can destroy a lawn, but this is one of the ones that's easier to prevent and you can do it very safely.
Yeah. Have you ever, with Teed and Brown, been called in to has anyone ever contacted you to help a lawn that's been destroyed like that? Or, you know, if there's been some huge problem with somebody's lawn, whether it be the grub infestation or I'm trying to think of other things that would have happened, but someone that has a disaster and they're like, oh no, I need real help here.
Oh, sure. All the time.
Yeah.
It happens all day. Every summer, towards the end of the summer, we get a lot of phone calls like that.
There's always somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of folks. And that was actually a very big transition I had to make when I left the golf course business, because I'd been working in the golf course business for years.
Right.
And what you're doing over there is maintaining grass that's already at that super premium high level.
Yeah.
You're just keeping it there. Okay?
Right, just keep it looking good.
Keep it looking good. Then when I shifted over into the lawn care business, I'm thinking, all right, I know how to grow grass, right? I've got this degree. I've got this experience in growing grass at the highest level in the golf course. And then I show up on some of these lawns and look at them and go, I have no idea what to do here because this place is just destroyed.
Right.
Like, how do you take this and turn it into that? I was never a part of that whole process early on. No, of course, it's just a matter of applying the principles I had learned and doing it. Getting a little experience doing that.
Yeah, it's just operating in a different sort of like arena than what you were used to. Yeah.
But it's so much more gratifying, too, to really take something like in your case.
Yeah.
Where it just did not look good and then turn around and make it look good. It's so much more gratifying than taking something that looks fantastic. And a month later, it still looks fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's just not a whole lot of gratification you get out of that just maintaining something.
Right. No, so. That totally makes sense. And you're right. I mean, you're really helping, you know, whether it's a family with kids. Kids or pets, and they want their lawn to look great. And it must be awesome as the owner of Dean Brown to see someone's reaction if they've had a horrible lawn, and then all of a sudden they're like, "This is so great! We could finally have a cookout."
Well, it's the interesting thing on that, from my perspective, is that either that's the reaction,
yep,
where people are just so excited once they see how much better it looks,
yep.
The other reaction you get is actually a little surprising because sometimes when you see something every single day and it's changing just a little bit every day,
yeah,
sometimes you don't notice the transition. And I will sometimes get situations where, you know, with permission, we'll take pictures before we get started. And then about a month or two later, we'll be talking to the client. They'll say, I don't know, I haven't seen much of a difference. And then we'll come back out and show, well, here's what it looked like before.
Right.
And then you see the look on their face and think, oh, really? Like, I didn't remember.
Yeah,
it kind of goes to show that whole gradual transition thing is sometimes really hard to notice.
It's like when you haven't seen a close friend or a family member in a long time, and they've either lost weight or gained weight. Mm-hmm. But if you were living with them all or around them all the time, you wouldn't really notice. And then you see them at Christmas time, and you're like, "Wow, you look good. You lost a lot of weight." And they're like, "I have." It's sort of that same thing.
Yeah, that's something I haven't heard in a long time.
Right.
Sadly.
So the other thing that I meant to ask you about is that. So we were even talking about when we were walking around the lawn earlier. So in April, we had so much rain. It was like a record rainfall. So I think it helped a lot of the people's lawns. But now, as we get into May and early summer, you know, the importance of watering seems to be, because I feel like, at least me, in April, I was like, oh, so much rain. Like, we're good. But now I really have to get into the watering thing. So what's the important steps for people to take when they go to water the lawn?
That's a great observation. And do you mind if I side rail this a little bit and tell a story?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. So way back in my days as an undergrad in the turf grass science program, we had a professor who taught turf grass pathology. Now, turf grass pathologist, I'm guessing if you ask your kids, what do you want to be when you grow up, very few will say turf grass pathologist.
Right.
But this was her job, and wonderful lady, Pat Sanders, and she was our professor and taught us all about turf grass diseases. So it was springtime. It was a spring semester and we were taking our class. And it was also a very rainy spring. And I remember saying something to that effect, like, isn't this just going to be great for the grass?
Yeah.
And she kind of looked at me and said, just wait until summer. And I said, okay. Now, that summer, I actually worked as the assistant to her technician. And he was the gentleman who was out there, Mike Soika, great guy. Mike, if you're listening, how you doing? I haven't seen you in ages. Hope you're doing well. But I learned a ton from them about turf grass diseases. And he would go out on all these plots where you had literally this giant checkerboard, like half an acre, that was split up into like 100 different plots where you're treating with different products and things like that, trying to decide what's going to work best in terms of preventing and curing disease problems.
Right.
So I was basically helping him out through the summer.
Yeah.
And at one point, she pulled me aside. She came out to examine some of the stuff. And she said, hey, do you remember when I said to wait for the summer? And now we're in the middle of like July. It's hot. It's gross out. It's humid. She said, do you remember when I said, just wait till the summer? And I said, yeah, yeah. She said, all right, come on over here. Let me show you something. So we go off to a side in a field, an area that wasn't actually being treated. And she said, take a look. And there was these dead rings all over the place. So like circles that were dead, just sort of all over this place in a big area.
Just dead grass in a circle?
Yeah, yeah. In a circle, like maybe, you know, like a foot in diameter. So it was alive in the middle. It was like rings.
Huh.
So it's alive in the middle, dead circle, alive outside of the circle. But they were also intertwining each other, just all over the place.
Huh.
And she said, does that look familiar? And I said, absolutely. And it didn't, but I didn't want to tell her. She's right. My professor. And so,
yeah, of course,
I didn't want to tell her, you know, so yeah, yeah, I know what that is. Of course, yeah.
I learned that.
Because I realized, yeah, she taught this, right? So, but I'm scratching my head and she said, yeah, necrotic ring spot. And nodded like, yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Exactly. Yeah. But I did remember learning about necrotic ring spot. And it's actually not an uncommon disease. It's something I see a lot on lawns too. And what happens is kind of like, remember we were just talking about grubs,
yeah,
where they destroy the roots of the grass. Well, in the springtime, when you have lots of water, mm-hmm, and the right kind of temperatures, which we've had,
yep,
the necrotic ring spot fungus is in the soil eating away at the roots.
Oh.
But it spreads out in that circular pattern. And so, wow, what happens is the grass is okay because it's so wet and you got plenty of, you know, it's nice and cool temperature. So, yeah, it's not under stress, doesn't need an extensive root system. But then all of a sudden you get into the heat and it starts getting stressful. And wherever that fungus was attacking, that's the grass that dies out.
Oh, okay.
So now you see the results of it.
Yeah.
And so I suspect that this summer, if anybody's listening, if you look out in your yard,
you see,
some rings of dead.
Sounds like the movie Signs or like some, yeah, crazy horror movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. But definitely, if you see something like that in your yard and it's in the summertime, and it'll typically be in a very sunny area.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
It wouldn't be in the shade. It'll be in a very open, sunny area. Yeah. And the rest of it's green. Just for a second there, Google necrotic ring spot, look up the images, and you're going to see it's probably what's going on.
Now, how do you fix it?
It's one of those diseases that once you see it, mm-hmm, the damage is done. So
right, there's nothing you can really do.
Turn it around. You're kind of stuck with it for that season.
Yeah.
You can water it, try to get a little more water on it, try to baby it a little bit, and you can mask some of the symptoms that way.
Yep.
Where the grass won't be under as much stress, right?
Yep.
But what you want to do is really address the underlying conditions that led to it in the first place. So I'm going to go off on a bit of a weird tangent here, but basically this disease, it boils down to thatch management.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So thatch, T-H-A-T-C-H, okay?
Right.
What happens is grass gradually builds up a layer of organic matter right near the surface of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a lot of that organic matter built up, it will house the fungal fruiting bodies. They're called sclerotia.
Right.
Try to. There's no quiz. Don't worry. No quiz.
Right. I hope you're all taking notes.
Yeah, exactly. But the sclerotia overwinters in the thatch and then it's there for the next year and can cause the problem if the temperature and the conditions and the rain and everything is just right. Okay.
Yep.
So if you can keep thatch under control, you're not giving that a place to spend the winter. You're not allowing the population of the fungus to really do well in your yard.
Yeah.
So the way to keep thatch under control is either by dethatching in the fall or you doing regular core aerations where you're pulling plugs out of the grass. And that really breaks down the thatch layer.
Oh, okay.
And then typically speaking, most of our customers, we don't really see this problem because we're aerating the lawn every fall.
Yeah.
And we keep the thatch under control, and then that's one of a whole bunch of problems,
yep,
that you just don't really run into.
Right. And aerating is when they put all the holes. Is that when they put holes in the ground?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And that just lets it breathe. Is that how it helps it? Is it just lets the soil or the ground breathe?
So you're wondering how the aeration gets the thatch under
right,
control.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me tell you a little story about my dog.
Okay. Nice.
So we will not allow my dog to take bones outside anymore. And that's the first thing. I'm not sure what it is about his breed, but you give him a bone to chew on. And
what
the
kind
first
of dog
thing
is
he
it?
He's a mixed breed. We picked him up at a rescue shelter.
Okay.
But he's part beagle, part terrier.
Okay.
That's what we know. And so people are really hardcore dog lovers and owners. I mean, I love dogs, but
yeah,
I don't know a lot about the different breeds. You might know what's going on here. But the second we give him a bone, he's at the door whining, scratching at the door. He just can't wait to get outside because he's dying to get out and bury that thing.
Right.
And then if we won't let him out, he'll go find a spot. Like, he'll go into the guest room and put it underneath the pillows or something.
Right, right.
He needs to bury it. There's something in the DNA that makes him want to bury that
thing. Yeah, to bury the bone, yeah. Which would destroy your lawn.
Well, it wouldn't destroy the lawn so much, but it does destroy the bone. And that's the thing. So about 6 months after he did this one time, we let him out. We didn't realize this is what he was going to do.
Yeah.
He comes back to the door, and if, you know, you'd like to imagine the dog smiling, but he's probably not smiling, but his tail's certainly wagging. He's so happy and proud of himself. And in his mouth, he's got this completely half rotted away bone covered with dirt.
Right.
And his snout is covered in dirt, just disgusting. And we're like, get out of here.
What happened?
So he went out and found one of these bones. Now, what happened was this bone was buried in dirt and it just decayed in there, right?
Oh.
That's because of all the microbes in the soil that just sort of gradually wore away at it.
Yeah.
And ate away at it. Okay. So thatch is organic matter, and these bones are actually organic matter.
Yep.
Okay. And thatch gets gradually decomposed by the microbes in the soil. The problem is, from the most part, the microbes are underneath the thatch. They're on the bottom side of it.
Okay.
When you aerate, you're pulling the plugs, but you're also bringing those cores of soil to the top, and that soil is getting spread out on top of it.
So if you
think about it, now it's kind of getting decomposed from both angles, from the bottom and from the top.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it gradually breaks down the thatch layer that much more quickly.
Yeah.
As well as just physically removing some of the thatch out of the core that you've pulled out of the
ground. Right, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it ends up working.
That's so funny with your dog, because I didn't even think about that. Like, so people with dogs, you know, depending on what breed you have, I guess, but most of them like to you know, burrow and bury and go after the lawn. Like, mm-hmm. Is there anything if somebody has a dog and they let it outside all the time to be cautious of? I mean, that's obviously one, but...
You know, when it comes to dogs, aside from just the common sense, don't let them out as soon as an application's been done,
right,
let it dry,
right.
Let it get watered into the soil,
when it has
or
the
something
chemicals
like
and
that.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, common sense safety stuff right there. You don't necessarily need to worry about it, but you know what? I mean, a dog's a dog. You're going to have a dog running around the yard. We have some clients who have a couple of big dogs who just run around the yard all day. And
yeah.
You know what? The yard doesn't look good because it's just getting torn up by the dogs.
Right.
There's not much you can do about that.
Yeah.
Some dogs will, you know, cause brown stains from where they urinate.
Yeah, I was going to say, does that affect the grass at all? Does that kill the grass or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, no, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it kills the grass in that one spot. What the grass is basically getting is a toxic dose of fertilizer.
Right.
It's nitrogen that's in the ammonia, that's in the urine, and that's why a lot of times you'll see the dead spot, and just surrounding it is lush green that's growing twice as fast as the rest of the lawn.
Yep.
Because it's been diluted there. It's not that super high toxic concentrated dose. It's now diluted down to sort of just a high low level of fertilizer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's growing really fast there. Huh. The only thing you can really do there, if you want to be really diligent about it, is if your dog goes in a certain area, if you have a hose set up, maybe with a little spray gun
you
on
just
there.
Kind of like rinse it a little bit?
Yeah, just wash it down.
Oh, that makes sense.
That'll dilute it, so it doesn't really kill the grass in that spot. But you have to be really diligent about that.
Right, right. Especially if you're just letting your dog out. Like, if you don't have a designated area where they go to the bathroom or whatever.
Exactly. So that's, you know, that all depends on how neurotic you are about the lawn.
Yeah.
I love dogs. I've got a dog. Like, you know, having a not perfect lawn as a trade-off to having a dog, probably worth it.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. And that's coming from a lawn guy, right?
You know? Exactly. All right. Well, we have Memorial Day coming up this weekend, so I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast are going to be cooking out on their lawns and on the deck, and the weather's supposed to be nice, too, so I'm super excited about that. And what I need to do, so I've mowed, but what I need to do is get my watering down. So, like I said earlier, like, the rain came, and I was like, I'm good, but now I need to really get the sprinklers going. So what are, like, a couple quick tips to close out this episode for watering?
Okay, watering. So what you want to do is put down between 1 and 2 inches of water per week.
Okay.
And play with it a little bit. So if it looks like the lawn is still burning out and you're putting down 2 inches of water, go ahead and up it a little bit. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
My old yard where I used to live was built on an old sand quarry. And so the soil was all pure sand, and that I could just dump water on that thing continuously,
and it
still started like on the edge of brown, like it's almost about to stress out because it's dry.
Yeah. Yeah,
because the water would just go right through it.
I'll go through the sand. Okay.
Yeah, just drain right through the sand.
Yeah, whereas the soil holds onto it a little better.
Exactly. So what you want to do is just somewhere between 1 and 2 inches. Usually, on most yards, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of like maybe 3 times a week for a half an hour to 45 minutes.
Okay.
In a section if you're running a sprinkler.
Yep.
But one of the ways you can tell is if you eat tuna fish, take the tuna fish can out. Okay.
Yep.
Measure that. I believe it's about 2 inches deep. It might be 1.5, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Put it out and run the sprinkler for an hour. And just see
how
much
water
you collect.
Oh, and then see when it fills up?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so that's funny.
Then you can sort of calculate backwards and say, okay, took a half an hour to get a half an inch. Okay, now I know I got to water about an hour, hour and a half per week.
Yeah.
You know, so you can kind of do the backwards calculations that way.
Oh, that's interesting.
That tends to work out pretty well.
Yeah.
Up till now, we've had great amount of rain.
Yeah.
So you haven't really had to. I think there's some rain in the forecast in a few days if you want to try to hang on and just see what happens.
Right, so maybe I'll wait a little bit.
Yeah, you can give it a few days. But after about 3 days, if there's no rain in the forecast, then, start getting the sprinklers out.
Yeah, and then I'll set up a bunch throughout the yard and just because you want to try to hit all the grass, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, what you could do is just set maybe two up in one section of the yard one day, turn them on. Let it run for half an hour, whatever.
One.
Next day, go to another section.
Yeah,
move it around so you're not killing yourself spending half a day moving sprinklers around.
Right, exactly.
The whole place, you know?
Yeah. All right, great. And then this lawn hopefully is going to be looking good. We're going to have a big barbecue right before the 4th of July. So hopefully you can make it. We're going to invite a whole bunch of people from work, and we're going to see the reveal of making of a lawn. It's gonna be awesome.
I like cheddar for my cheeseburger. just want to put that order
in
right now.
I'll make sure of that.
All right, perfect.
And maybe we'll have some tuna fish, too, because I'll have used those cans for the watering
trick. Barbecue tuna. Can't think of anything better.
Nice. All right, Chris Brown from Teden Brown. Christopher Brown. We talked about that
Thank
last
you.
Episode.
Yes,
not to be confused with the musician. This is episode 3. We're going to have episode 4 up in a little bit. And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Chris.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.